Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You're listening to Intuit from Vulture and New York Magazine. I am your host, Sam Sanders. And today, this episode, we're here to play a game. It's called Intuit, Not Intuit. And my guests this week, they are two friends, two former colleagues, two current mentors, and two all-around amazing journalists. I'm always excited for all of my guests to be on the show, but I'm super stoked for these two. We've got Audie Cornish and Ari Shapiro. Hello, hello, hello.
It's like a family reunion.
Hey.
It really is. It really is. How are y'all?
Boy, I would have written a book just to be able to reunite with the two of you and have a conversation like this. So I'm feeling great. I'm really happy.
I love it.
Oh my God. Ari, you can text me.
Everybody's busy. It's helpful to have a reason to convene.
You can text me. You don't need a reason.
So for listeners who don't know, the three of us all used to work together in public radio at NPR. Ari is currently the host of All Things Considered at NPR. Audie Cornish is doing some amazing TV and podcast work at CNN now. But I want you both to tell our listeners what you're doing these days and what projects you're out with right now. Audie, you got a podcast that's new. Ari, you have a book that's new. Tell us about it.
What am I doing? So right now I am hosting a podcast called The Assignment, and we are actually going to be launching another season this week where we've been trying to find people behind the headlines of different stories. We're going to be taking on things like therapy speak and whether it is seeping into our everyday language in a way that's actually not helpful.
Yeah.
Economists are people too, so we're going to talk to them about why it's so hard to explain this economy. Turns out they have jokes, so that's interesting. And yeah, it's just been a really fun show to do, and I'm also working on TV stuff. I'm working on a documentary. Hopefully that'll come out soon. And it's just nice to be with you guys again.
Well, my whole thing, and actually there's an article in The Cut this week from our friend Hannah Rosen, where she's like, when did everybody start calling everybody a narcissist?
Yep.
We
talk about that as well. We talk about that as well.
It's so much.
Yeah. But yeah. You know what? Can I just add one more thing?
Yeah.
One of the things about The Assignment that I think you guys will both appreciate, because we all kind of came up in a newsroom, mm-hmm. is there's so many stories that fall between beats, and they don't really get covered sufficiently by either space. And that's especially true with pop culture.
Mm.
And we've not been afraid to bring that into our news work. And I think
exactly.
People even hear that in the projects we're in now.
This shit's connected. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of connected.
I love it.
Sam, it's funny because you describe me as one of your mentors, but I have learned so much from you on exactly the point that Audie is describing. I actually quote you in my book in the last chapter.
Oh, I saw it, and I'm honored. Tell folks first what your book is titled and about.
Well, the title is The Best Strangers in the World, Stories from a Life Spent Listening, and it's a memoir. It's a collection of essays, and in some ways, it's an answer to a question that I've gotten a lot from my friends over the years, and I wonder if people ask the two of you this question. When you're covering the news and you see all the terrible things happening in the world and you talk to people on the worst day of their lives, how do you stay optimistic? And the truth is, I am an optimist, and I do feel good about humanity, and I do see like joy and hope and light in the world. And the reason has a lot to do with the people who I've met in my reporting and the people who have sort of changed my life over the years as I've told their stories. And so the book is in some ways like a memoir told through the stories of others in part. But the way that I quote you is talking about the imagined divide between hard news and soft stories.
I'm honored. I am so honored. Listen, I am so excited to have made it into the book, and I'm happy to call you all my friends. But with that, let's play a game that means absolutely nothing. Y'all ready?
Oh, I love it. Yes.
Okay.
Audie always beats me at games, and so I'm really glad that this game doesn't have a winner or a loser. This is just
days are over.
Collaborative. Yeah, let's do it.
So this game is really simple. It's called Into It, Not Into It. I share a story from the zeitgeist, from the news, and you just tell me if you're into it or not and why. And then at the end of the game, I'll tell you who won based on whose opinion I liked the most. Question number one, are y'all into or not into the return of Succession on HBO?
Into it.
Okay.
Into it.
Audie and I have had this conversation. Take it away, Audie.
What do you mean? Into it.
Into
yeah.
Audie, what about you?
Okay, I don't watch Succession.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
You see, now you remember. Now you remember.
Well, I had blocked it out of my mind so that I could maintain our friendship.
I actually went to college with Jeremy Strong, which is not the purpose of this, but I feel like it's a note that I have to include.
Was Jeremy Strong that weird in undergrad too?
I'll let you read the New Yorker profile. Okay, there is an anecdote in that profile. I can't believe I brought this profile
up
again.
Like,
yes, you did it to yourself.
I did it to myself. But there's a story about an Al Pacino masterclass for undergrads at Yale. And I was at that masterclass. And anyway, reading the story all these years later was hilarious. But okay, not into it.
Why not?
I understand that it is a great work of art. I understand that it is an incredible television show that I should be watching. I know that to be true. There's just too much toxic masculinity. I don't need to see alpha males trying to out-alpha male each other. I know that it is a well-done show. I'm sure that if I were bedridden puh-puh and had to watch something, like, it would entertain me and I would love it. I'm just not into it.
See, I watch it for the alpha females. Shiv is an alpha female. Jerry is an alpha female. I like it for that. I also like that the cast commits to the bit. Like, they are all in. So the premiere for the new season was earlier this week. And Nicholas Braun did shots on the red carpet. The whole cast danced together while cursing to Carly Rae Jepsen. Brian Cox, who plays the dad in the show, he yelled at photographers from the red carpet, which was totally true to form of his character.
I wonder who he's screaming at. And he's not serious. I don't think he's real. I think he's having fun, right?
He's having fun.
I like Succession as a show, and I also like that the whole cast has kind of leaned into the crazy of it, too.
Can we also just note, and this is a point that our friend and former colleague Linda Holmes made very eloquently, there is an abundance of big budget shows about miserable rich white people. And
it's
I watch
a thing
many
right now.
Of them.
It's a thing right
it
now.
It is such a thing.
Can like I tell from you as a
The
not-
White Lotus yes. to what Fleischman's in Trouble to Succession. Like, we don't need that many shows what? About miserable. The Gilded Age. It's like miserable rich white people 100
but
years
let me
ago.
Tell like, you, but let me tell you, as a non-white, non-rich person, I love this shit.
But miserable? Are you miserable?
Some days when it rains in LA too much, I am, like this week. But I don't know. Something
let me just jump in and add one thing here about why I'm into it. It's also its last season.
Yeah.
And I think there's really something to be said for understanding when and how to end something.
Totally agree
and
with
that's,
that.
And that's a good thing. You know, mm-hmm. this show has had some really great seasons. And the arc of it is not going to be sort of dragged out just because it's a success. And I appreciate that. It's yet another reason why I'm into it. Because it's like, hey, I've put in the time.
Yes.
Now you're wrapping up the story. We're all agreed it's time to wrap up the story. Let's do it. Into
it. If they really want to make a drama and really want to make this last season pop, you got to kill the dad. Dad has to die. That's the only way the stakes actually change. In my humble
opinion.
All right,
settle down, Sam Sanders, okay, with your pronouncements.
Kill daddy.
Settle down.
Kill daddy.
Let us let this unfold. The journey is the destination. And I want them to surprise me in whatever way they do. I have loved the way they've put this thing together, and I want to see how they wrap it up.
I'll be watching Sunday. I'll be watching. Question two. Are we into or not into the author of the book that inspired Mean Girls getting more money. She says she didn't get enough when she sold the rights for her book to become a film. What do you think?
I'm hearing about this for the first time right now from you, and I have no idea what the details of this particular case are, but I generally hear a lot of stories about people who created something incredible and selling it off for $0, like the Von Trapp family singers for The Sound of Music.
Wait, really?
Because, oh my God. Like, they sold the rights to their family story to somebody who wrote a book, who then sold the rights to that book for a movie and a Broadway musical.
Wild.
They toured for years as the Von Trapp family singers and made a living doing live performances, but they did not profit from The Sound of Music. So I hear a lot of stories like that. I do not know at all whatsoever the details of the Mean Girls scenario. I am certainly not a lawyer, but I'm into her getting more money for it. I'm just going to say.
Yeah.
I mean, we're biased for writers in this group for sure. I think one of the things to know about this case is that the author is also raising the issue of the fact that there was a musical adaptation.
Yeah.
And I think in the age of iterative IP, it is a real question, right? Because if you read her book, which I did when it came out, it was nothing like Mean Girls, the drama.
Oh, really?
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, it was about bullying. It was kind of a sociology book, and they adapted it and created something really fascinating. But since then, she's consulted on other projects they've done. So she's maintained her connection to them, and she basically says that she doesn't feel like she's been treated well, which I think lots of writers do feel that. Mm.
So this author's name is Rosalind Wiseman, and she wrote the book that inspired the movie Mean Girls. The book is called Queen Bees and Wannabes. And when she sold the film rights for the book, she only got paid $400,000. But we know at this point, Mean Girls as a franchise has made a whole lot more than $400,000.
And also, that was back in 2002, pre-streaming.
Yeah.
Now, there's licensing of streaming libraries, there's a lot of back and forth about how you monetize existing work. So I'm surprised we aren't seeing more kind of questions like this.
But it's not a solid legal argument to say, oh, I signed a lousy contract that I shouldn't have signed. Like,
girl,
I would like to see
that.
Her get compensation. But if she signed away the rights to this thing for $400,000, I'm sorry, but if the look, I'm into her getting more money. I'm not changing my answer. I am saying, however, like, lawyers are supposed to look at these things and tell you that's not a good deal. It could turn into a huge Broadway musical or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. I would say, okay, if she got $400,000 for the film rights in 2002, if I were the judge and had to pay her out now, how much would I give her for all of the Mean Girls IP that has spun out of that book? I would give her $5 million.
Remember, it's not just her, right? Like, this is a dialogue that's happening with her, Tina Fey, and Paramount.
Oh, well, Tina Fey is always involved in some kind of drama, the more I think about it. But
is that true?
Oh, Tina Fey. Remember how everyone a few years ago rewatched 30 Rock and was like, oh, yeah, fuck, that was racist.
Oh, right. Yeah,
absolutely. It was just a problem.
Yeah.
I think Tina Fey can spare a square. I think Tina Fey can just cut a check.
Hold my breath for the Sam Sanders business column and the legal questions that will arise from that.
All right, more of the game after the break. But first, an ask. We need your help. If you like the show and want to support it, please consider leaving a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. And also subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Are y'all into or not into Hollywood's newest bad Nepo baby, Sofia Coppola's daughter, Rami? I don't know how you say it.
Make vodka sauce pasta with me because I'm grounded. Because I tried to charter a helicopter from New York to Maryland on my dad's credit card because I wanted to have dinner with my girlfriend. Okay, let's get started. I don't know
the difference. Have y'all seen this story?
Well, obviously that nepotism's not working out. You're literally like, I don't know their name.
Also, are we accepting that Nepo baby is now a term in the dictionary and not just like a witty cover story word that New York Magazine invented?
Oh, yeah. It is part of the cultural fabric at this point.
It is in the lexicon now.
It is literally a thing. Okay. Yes, yeah, yes. For sure. Okay.
So let me tell you this Nepo baby story. It's freaking wild. Sofia Coppola has a daughter named Romy Coppola. And Romy Coppola recently got grounded after she attempted to charter a helicopter from New York to Maryland to see one of her friends from camp. I think she was going to use one of
her... How old is this child?
All right, this is 16-year-old. Her name is actually Mars. It's Romy Coquette Mars. But either way, obviously, she's feels comfortable in her dynastic wealth in order to do such a move.
Why do we know she was grounded?
Because she
because
did a TikTok about
it. Was in the New York Post.
But
Ari
also,
Shapiro.
She made a TikTok saying,
"I tell
got
you.
Grounded.
Yes.
I'm sorry. This child needs to be reined
but
in."
But wait, here's how it gets even worse. Weirder, instead of just making the TikTok where she's like, I'm mad I got grounded because my parents wouldn't let me steal the credit card to get a helicopter from New York to Maryland for lunch, while she's making the TikTok explaining this, she's like making a recipe on TikTok because that's what the TikTok kids do. So she's like cutting onions and garlic and shallots, being like, I don't know if this is an onion or a garlic or what. And then she's explaining how she couldn't actually steal her parents' credit card.
It's because they don't want me to be a nepotism kid. But TikTok's not going to make me famous, so it doesn't really matter. But is this an onion? Because I feel like this doesn't look like an onion. This looks like the inner workings of a... And this? Yes, we're on. And this is Ari, my babysitter's boyfriend, because my parents are never home, so these are my replacement parents.
I mean, on the one hand, after watching a Jenner try and cut a cucumber...
Do you want the chef to make you a snack?
I'm making it myself. Just got to chop up some cucumber. It's pretty easy.
You go, girl.
I'm still very traumatized from that. I literally bought my 3-year-old a small kid wooden knife just to be like, this is not going to happen, this kind of infantilism. You know, the thing that was intriguing is that she was saying in the video, like, oh, I don't want to be seen. Like, my parents don't want me to be seen as a nepotism kid, which is very interesting thinking of her mom, you know what I mean?
Yeah. In particular. Was a nepotism baby.
But she says, but TikTok is not going to make me famous, so it doesn't really matter.
Damn.
While this thing is going viral.
Here's where I come down on this.
Tell me.
Should a child be trying to steal their parents' credit card to charter a helicopter? No. Should they be going on TikTok and saying, I'm grounded and I'm not supposed to be on social media? No. Should I, as somebody who's never even heard of this person, be judging a 16-year-old or their parents' choices? No. So until this child...
Wait, how many parts do we have to be into?
Whatever y'all want.
I'm just saying, whatever I might think of the specifics of the story, the fact that she's 16 makes me say, you know what, Shapiro, take a step back, let these people live their lives. It is not your place to judge and critique and criticize a teenager. So I'm going to say...
Hey, by that rubric, I too am not into it.
So you know what I mean? Like, it would be different if this were an 18 or a 20-year-old. But she's 16. I'm not going to judge.
I'm into this story just because the following sentence will be etched onto my soul forever. Quote, I tried to charter a helicopter from New York to Maryland on my dad's credit card because I wanted to have dinner with my camp friend. I mean, just that sentence alone.
Did she mean her friend who was, like, super campy? and gay, like her, because I'm totally into it if she meant her friend who is like high camp, like her friend who is over the top, super queer, my camp friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if she just meant some girl she met at summer camp, then no. I'm sorry.
Oh, I think it's so dismissive camp. Of girl camp relationships.
Maintained by helicopter.
I'm just saying, you don't need to slide into misogyny. That, you know, like I also miss my camp friends. But no, we're still not into it.
I miss
we
you
shouldn't
too,
be honey. Talking about this story. We're done. Yeah.
Well, one last tidbit on the story. Sorry, because it's now going to change the lexicon. Because
you're the host.
Oh my
yes.
God.
You get after, to decide when we're done.
After she's like not being able to identify onions from garlic from shallots, the camera pans and there's this man with the fluffy dog behind her, and it's the babysitter's boyfriend. He's like the only person there in the house. The babysitter's not there. The parents are gone. And she starts asking this guy what his take on the whole thing is. And he says, it's a fiasco. No, wait, a fiasca, because it's feminine.
What do you think about the helicopter fiasca?
Oh, I like fiasca because it's like the feminine form of fiasco.
Oh, it's Women's History Month, so.
And my only hope is that fiasca enters our lexicon. So if
it,
Romy can give us
like
fiasca, yeah, if Romy has given us fiasca as a word that I can use, this was all worth it.
I didn't even know where that story was going at first. You're like, the camera pans. And I'm like, it's a hamburger? No, the camera pans. It's Nicolas Cage, you know, just like other random Coppolas in the world. But this is also good. Sure.
I will say, the way that this short TikTok flowed, it was like a film. There were just layers. It was a Coppola production.
Well, exactly. That's where is it nepotism or is it genetic talent? Yeah,
yes.
Obviously.
Yes. All right, next question. And you might have to Google for this one. Are y'all into or not into New York City's new state tourism campaign, namely the new I Love New York logo? Apparently everybody hates it. Have y'all seen it?
I'm looking.
Isn't it like a rule of being a New Yorker to hate some stuff? Especially
that's what makes you a New
stuff.
Yorker, bonding
yeah.
with other New Yorkers over hating
that's
the same
thing.
That's
just remaining on brand. So do you want to know if we're hating New Yorkers for hating
oh,
the thing?
Oh, I see. So
or
the
we're
heart,
liking the thing.
I want both.
The heart is like an emoji shaded heart. It's not just like the two-dimensional I heart New York. It's like, it looks like you could see this animated heart bouncing up and down in the logo or something like that, you know?
I mean, you always take a risk when you make a change like this. I'm not into it because to me it's the kind of thing that seems just like completely unnecessary. It's an iconic logo. And why mess with a classic?
Yeah, I don't understand the hate.
Also,
it just
some
looks like
people online mocking the sans serif, like the font, which is also absolutely perfect and correct.
Yeah, The Times, of course, had a piece on this, and Rafi Schwartz, he's a writer and co-owner of Discourse Blog, he said of this logo, quote, "This sucks on every conceivable level and also on some levels that exist beyond human perception."
Right, really taken
is
it to the
next
level.
So I'm remembering a moment after 9/11 where New Yorkers were nice to each other and it was really weird, and then when New Yorkers started being assholes again, everyone was like, oh, life as we knew it is returning. And similarly, I think that, like, you know, during the pandemic, there was this moment where everybody felt so precarious and they were cheering for essential workers. And the fact that now what people are spending their energy on is the tourism logo is so, like, soul-affirming.
It means nature is healing.
It means nature is healing. So
New Yorkers
I'm really
hate again.
Into it.
New Yorkers hate again.
I really feel good about this. I'm really happy to see it.
I mean, it seems like we're not into it.
Okay, not into it.
No. I'm into the hating of the logo.
Okay. Oh my God.
Are we into the Why logo
do you keep
or the hating of the logo?
You're making more work for us. This
so
is this everyone. This is what it was like to co-host with Ari. He was like, "But what if we?" And I'd be like, "Stop talking. We don't want them to hear that because we don't want to do that extra stuff."
My old editor, who y'all both know and love, Thani Maturi, she would have business cards that just said "Stop talking" on them, and she'd pass them out when she needed to.
I used to have a cubicle next to Mathani, and she had a yellow flag and a red flag. And when I was on the phone, if I was talking too loud, she would hold up the yellow flag first. And then if
it.
I kept going or was really hollering, she would hold up the red flag.
Amazing. Classic. Classic. Classic human being.
We love you, Mathani.
We love you.
We love you, Mathani. Last question for y'all. Are y'all into or not into a new A24 film directed by David Lowery called Mother Mary, starring Anne Hathaway and Michaela Cole, with music by Jack Antonoff and Charlie XCX, a film that's being called an epic pop melodrama.
This is a lot.
I'm into it because, first of all you had to say was Michaela Cole, and I'm into it. Second of all, I'm ready for a new era in the Anne Hathaway narrative. I feel like she's a very talented person who has gone through some periods of not great projects, and I'm rooting for her to do something that is just like, oh yes, rocketing back into the stratosphere. And I feel like if she and Michaela Cole have a real opportunity to play off each other with a great script and killer music, it could be one to watch.
Yeah,
I know you have thoughts about A24, Sam.
I do.
I think I've heard them in the past. But I actually agree with Ari on this, and I'm willing to be proven wrong if it's terrible. But casting-wise, I'm in. Ready for the Hatha Renaissance, or whatever people will call it.
The
Hatha way back.
Renaissance. Like, you know, I'm here for it.
Yeah. I will say I am into this announcement alone just because it's like A24 Mad Libs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, A24 has figured out so well how to be a caricature of A24 at this point. I love it. Like,
but
this film
they are excellence embodied. It would be one thing if these projects were so predictable, stereotypical, and cliche, but
they're good. Yeah. So this movie is called Mother Mary, and in the movie, Anne Hathaway plays a fictional musician, and it's all about her relationship with an iconic fashion designer played by Michaela Cole. And the music's going to come from Jack Antonoff and Charlie XCX. It's literally like if you went to an A24 film plot generator, it would pump out this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, straight into my veins, baby. Pump it in. I'm so ready for it.
You're also not going to get me to bash a film that's not a tentpole blockbuster, right?
Yeah. Completely.
Or a kind of a high art horror. Because it just feels like those things are the things that are doing really well right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I just am rooting for everyone who's trying to make something in other kinds of genres that makes use of these actors in different and inventive ways.
Yeah.
Like, sure, whatever you want. You know what I mean? If people, if the person is not wearing a cape, I'm here for it.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yes. Could not agree more.
New IP is good IP.
Yes, there we go.
New
into
IP
it.
Is good IP. Yes.
Into
yes.
it.
I think we've reached the end of the game. I'm so
Let's
bad at
Let's not choose a winner.
Oh,
Let's
we're
just
choosing
have a kumbaya embrace.
Ugh. We're choosing a winner. And I mean, part of me wants to say Ari lost because he hasn't watched Succession yet, but I'm not going to be that cruel. I'm going to let...
Honestly, I think...
The game is rigged.
No, Ari should win because he kept dividing each category into so many things. So he earned
I'm into
extra
sub-point
points.
2B.
Yeah, like he earned extra
I'm
points
not
for
into
that.
Sub-point
I
five.
Want that for
I'm
him.
Going to declare this a tie.
No, I don't want it.
Both,
I don't
I
want
decide.
It.
You don't want you
Audie,
don't want the
so
crown.
Competitive. You've been
no,
watching too much Succession,
I don't want
Audie.
It. This is a La La Land situation. I'm running up on stage and I'm saying, no, no. Moonlight
Wait, are
won.
You Moonlight or am
your
I Moonlight?
Your Moonlight. It is yours.
Girl.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on, and there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog... She's like knocking on the door, going, "Everything okay in there?" "Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog."
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Culturegeist. Culturegeist. You're listening to Culturegeist. Culturegeist. I don't know, y'all.
And now for a segment we're calling Culturegeist. About all the things we can't stop thinking about. The culture that's haunting you. Haunting me. Haunting all of us. For better or worse.
Hi Sam, my name is Eli. I live in Washington, D.C. And I had a culturegeist moment this past weekend. My fiance and I are getting married, and in the lead up to it, we've been watching a lot of wedding themed movies. And so this weekend, it was Mamma Mia. After the movie was done, we were remarking on the soundtrack. It's all, you know, all ABBA music, and my fiance turns to me and says that she had the song Dancing Queen as one of her hit clips. And as soon as she said that, I got really confused, and then I remembered that hit clips were this thing of my childhood. So I immediately went to my phone, I freaked out a little bit, I typed it in, and I was just taken aback at how much I'd forgotten that this really weird, almost pseudo MP3 player existed, and even while MP3 players already did exist.
Coming at you right between the ears is hit clips, music.
To get you grooving.
Hitclips is a slick micro audio system. This tight package is small, pumps out monster sound.
It just took me back to this time where these ridiculous things were very mainstream and people had them. And I've just been thinking about it ever since.
These songs available now. More this fall, you can collect them all. Hitclips!
Each sold separately.
Hi, Sam and the Intuit crew. This is Sarah calling from Montour Falls, New York, in the Finger Lakes region. And my culturegeist is a very short line from the movie As Good As It Gets. I saw that movie in high school once. I'm sure that I only watched it once because I don't even remember liking it that much. But at one point in that movie, the main character says, "Good times and noodle salad." And I remember he talks about the fact that when you're having noodle salad, it's usually because of a good time. So the line is good times, hey. Noodle salad.
We all have these terrible stories to get over and you...
It's not true. Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. Just no one in this car, but a lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
But for years... If somebody has said, good times, I'll reply, noodle salad, or I'll just say the whole thing myself. And I thought that was a popular film, but maybe not a lot of people saw it because the number of people who have no clue what I'm talking about is fascinating. Good times, noodle salad, for however many years that line has been stuck in my head and used by me on a semi-regular basis.
Hi, my name's Anna Graham from Glenview, Illinois, and my culturegeist is a clip of Brendley Mulligan from the TV show Game Changer on Dropout TV.
Brennan?
I know what's going on here. I know what's going on here. Okay? I do.
Do you?
Game Changer is a game show where the game changes every episode. Games can be anything from like a Simon Says type game to a game where you create a sales pitch for a keyboard with only the letter P on it. It's wonderfully insane. But the clip I'm obsessed with is from a season two episode called Yes and No. In this episode, contestants have to guess what the rule of the game is. The only catch is that every round, the only question they get is yes or no. So there's a contestant on the show, Brendan Lee Mulligan, and he's introduced as the all-time Game Changer champion. He's been on the show a bunch of times. He wins every single time. But as this episode progresses, Brendan loses miserably. He has 0 points, while the other contestants have 6 or 7 points. They figure out the rule of the game. But by the end of it, you realize that the rule of the game is that Brendan cannot win.
They're in the loop. I'm the only one out of the loop, it would seem. And if we check my point total here, I don't need to walk to the front because I know what it is. It's a big old goose egg, gang.
And he delivers one of the weirdest, most unhinged, hilarious monologues I've ever seen anyone improvise.
Brought to us from our friends in Arabia. A little bit of trivia that I happen to know about the history of numbers. That kind of little tidbit would serve me well in most trivia games, unless it had been rigged from the beginning.
Brendan riffs on the history of the number zero to the improbability of not even accidentally scoring a point in this game.
You would think in a game where there were only two possible correct choices that one would stumble into the right answer every so often, wouldn't you? In fact, the probability of never guessing right in the full game is a statistical wonder. And yet, here we are.
To the story of Icarus flying too close to the sun.
Introduced at the top of the game as a champion. What do you think that means? Icarus flying too close to the sun. But it seems Daedalus, our little master crafter over here, had some wax wings of his own, didn't he? Wanted to see his son fall.
It's so insane that after the monologue, one of the contestants, Allie, turns to the host and asks if Brendan was really in on the bit.
Okay, did we think we were in on it, but actually Brendan is the only one in on it, and that was rehearsed?
It's just wonderful. I cannot recommend it more. So thank you, Brendan Lee Mulligan and the Game Changer cast for creating my absolute favorite Culture Geist. Peace, everybody. Bye.
What is the rule of the game?
Can we all say
it? I cannot win!
That is correct, Brennan! You cannot win the game!
Thanks again to Anna, Sarah, and Eli. Listeners, do you have a culture geist? A thing in the culture that's been haunting you for days or weeks or even years? Share it with us. The more specific you are, the better. Just send us a short voice memo at intuit@vulture.com. intuit@vulture.com. All right, Intuit is hosted by me, Sam Sanders. The show is produced by Janae West, Travis Larchuk, Gabby Grossman, Jelani Carter, and Taka Zinn. Our fearless editor is Jordana Hochman. Our engineer is Daniel Turek. Our music is composed by Breakmaster Cylinder. And Hannah Rosen is the head of audio at New York Magazine. All right, listeners, we are back next Tuesday with a brand new episode. Till then, be good to yourselves. All right, bye.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Support for this show comes from Vanta. Dealing with loads of spreadsheets, juggling different tools, and having to do manual security checks, it can be a headache to keep up with today's compliance and security programs. Vanta is the trust management platform that wants to simplify things and bring all your trust-building efforts under one roof, making growth smoother for your whole organization. Vanta lets you automate up to 90% of compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, HIPAA, and more. Strengthen security posture and reduce third-party risk. Get $1,000 off Vanta when you go to vanta.com/vox. That's VANTA.com/vox for $1,000 off Vanta.